We now bring to these microphones David James. With the David James Report, we find him not in America, but he's in Sweden, I do believe. Is that correct, or have you already gone to Finland?
That's right. I'm still in Sweden. We head to Finland on Sunday.
If I remember correctly, wasn't this the pastor that joined us in Louisiana at Louisiana Baptist University for our School of Prophets conference that took place there about a year ago?
That's right. It was February 2014. We first met him, and he and I stayed in touch, and it worked out for me to come to be one of the two keynote speakers here at this conference, and then to be, I think it's the last teacher in the school over in Finland.
There's a story coming out of at least somewhere near where you are in Northern Ireland. It's being widely reported across the internet about a pastor who included remarks about Islam in a sermon last year, and he's now facing persecution by his government.
A man named Pastor James McConnell of the Metropolitan Tabernacle, actually in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and not just persecution, but actually facing prosecution. So the government is seeking legal action against him based upon a law that was passed in 2003 on the basis of what they call, quote-unquote, grossly offensive statement in a sermon streamed online.
Very, very interesting development. That's why we want to focus on the subject of Islam and what the church and preachers and Bible teachers have a right to do as it relates to our teaching the truth about this faith. We have edited a part of his message down to about a 30-second clip so that our audience can hear exactly what he was being prosecuted for. Here's that clip.
The Muslim religion was created many hundreds of years after Christ. But Muslims believe that Islam is the true religion, dating back to Adam, and that the biblical patriarchs were all Muslims, and even our Lord Jesus Christ. Islam's ideas about God, about humanity, about salvation, are vastly different from the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. Islam is heathen. Islam is satanic. Islam is a doctrine spawned in hell.
So obviously, David, the question is, was he accurate in his description of Islam?
He was absolutely accurate. I was reading some, doing some research for this discussion, and it's estimated that the Quran itself contains well over 100 verses that call Muslims to war with non-believers for the sake of establishing the Islamic Caliphate. And these include some very graphic and very radical things, which including the chopping off of heads and fingers and to kill infidels. And, of course, we've seen with ISIS the beheadings as well, which is perfectly in line with what Muhammad did. It is said that on one day he beheaded 700 male Jews.
Wow. And they're concerned about what we may be saying that is truthful about the Islamic faith. The Jihad Watch, which is a website, has pointed out the complete hypocrisy, David, with a series of quotes from extreme Muslim preachers, now I'm talking about in Britain, who seem to get a free pass on whatever they want to say. Why is that the case?
It's just one of many examples of the persecution that Christians are falling under, but also an example of the increasing influence that Islam is having. Just to give you an example, things that have been said just in the last couple of years, they've publicly praised Boko Haram's kidnapping of schoolgirls in Nigeria, and this list just goes on and on and on.
You know, in this case, the British government is prosecuting on the basis of hate crime. Now, that sounds to me like exactly what you have been describing to us. But on the other hand, Americans have the impression that our constitutional right of freedom of speech and separation of church and state will keep this from happening here. Is that really the case?
You know, you and I have discussed this ruling by the Supreme Court over the last couple of weeks. And I think what we have seen is that with the legislative actions that have been taken both by the Supreme Court and the executive branch of the United States, which includes the president, that really all things are up for grab, and things that we thought that were foundational truths and a rock-solid foundation for rights in the United States, not granted by the government, but granted by God, we can no longer take those for granted.
You know, David, there's another website, Judicial Watch, which you have been using as a resource as well. And they just reported, according to what you've let me know within the last couple of weeks, that an extreme leftist organization in the United States recently created a hit list of women against Sharia. Now, Sharia is the law of the Quran, and it's the law that the Muslim people live by. Is this the case? Is this really happening?
Yes, it exactly is happening, and those who listen to the news to any degree at various times, particularly over the past year, have probably heard of this group called the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they have been a center of a lot of controversy over the years, and they have issued a hit list of U.S. women against Sharia law. So that means that these women are being singled out and targeted for attacks. And in fact, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, this is what happened in Texas when a couple of radicalized men were killed when there was an anti-Islam rally. They came fully armed and loaded and ready to kill a lot of people. A lot of people may be familiar with the TV personality Ann Coulter. Also, Judge Jeanine Shapiro, who appears on Fox News on Saturday evenings. Those are just three of these women. So these women are actually in danger. Their lives are actually in danger because of this.
You know, I think I'm correct on this. I believe it was last Thursday that the American Thinker published an article noting a recent survey among American Muslims concerning their view on Sharia, and it should be concerning to us as well, should it not?
Well, yes, it really should. In their particular report, just to give a couple of quotes from their article, like you said, the American Thinker, one of the quotes says that 51% of Muslims who were surveyed said that they should have the choice of being governed according to Sharia as opposed to the Constitution of the United States. There's almost 30% of American Muslims who believe it's legitimate to use violence against those that insult the Prophet Muhammad or the Quran or the Islamic faith. Even a fourth of the Muslims said that violence against Americans there in the United States can be justified as part of the global jihad. So this is ramping up dramatically, and Americans may think that because America has been isolated for so long that there's some safety in that, and that may be true to some degree. But with many of the policies that we are seeing now and actually things happening on the ground, I don't think anything can be taken for granted when it comes to either the rights of U.S. citizens or the safety of U.S. citizens.
David, do we know the current Muslim population in the United States and what is the growth rate? And by the way, when you give me that answer, is this a concern?
Well, it's very difficult to nail down exact numbers. The estimates that I have seen range from 3 to 7 million presently in the United States. Now, that's a fairly wide range. One of the problems is that they are pouring in from different countries, and I really hope this does not sound racist, because it is not racist in any means whatsoever, but because of the darker skin of those from the Mid East and the skin color being similar to that of Latinos, they are actually able to infiltrate and come across the open southern border of the United States, and they can't be detected. So we really don't know how many are pouring in, but what we do know is that Islam is actually the fastest growing religion in America right at this very moment.
I know there are those who say that the extremist Islamists make up a very small proportion of the Muslim world, And there are those that say the majority of Muslims are peaceful. I've heard that debated by those who say anybody that is truly Muslim, sticking to the Sharia, the law of the Quran, would be all radical Muslims. Having said that, what should pastors and Bible teachers do about this issue? Now, you and I both teach about Islam all the time, not only in America, but around the world. And what about the average person in the pew? What should we be doing?
Responding to the first comment about the percentage, actually, the percentage of those who agree with a lot of what is being done, whether they participate or not, is as many as 25%. The total number of Muslims in the world that would agree with what is happening would amount to practically the entire number of the population of the United States. So in raw numbers, it being 25% is no small number. On the other hand, what you and I have to do is it's exactly the same thing that we're faced with when we're talking about the homosexual issues as well. We let God be our protector. And, you know, you and I work with the School of Prophets. We are trying to boldly proclaim the Word of God. And we have to do that. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, gives a list of those who stood for the faith over the centuries, provide a great cloud of witnesses, and as a testimony, and we simply cannot back off. We don't have to be mean-spirited, but we do need to tell the truth. And the fact is that Islam, because it denies that God has a son, means that by definition, biblical definition, it is the very spirit of Antichrist.
That's what God's word says, and that's what our conclusion always is when David and I have a conversation here on Prophecy Today. Like that pastor in Northern Ireland, we may face prosecution from the government, but we have to teach and preach and stand upon God's word. David, thank you so much. Have a great sojourn there in the Nordic states, and look forward to another conversation next week.
All right. Thank you very much, Jimmy.